Here with Dr. Jessie Ricketts, and we are at the Orange Tree in Richmond, and we're here talking about her paper called Do Children with Specific Language Impairment and Autism Spectrum Disorders Benefit from the Presence of Orthography When Learning New Spoken Words? And this paper was published last year in the Journal of Experimental Child Psychology. Before we get into the meat of that, though, we're drinking gin and tonics. I want to congratulate you on your paper.
Thank you.
Toast to it. Cheers. Oh, that's good. Mm. Okay, I start with the usual question, and that is, what was your research question?
Okay, so it's really hard to learn the meanings of new words. And what you have to do when you're learning a new word is you have to learn a new label, you have to learn often a new concept, and you have to learn to associate the two. This is something that children and adults find very difficult, though of course our vocabulary grows every year, every day, and we learn lots of new words. I was interested in how we can facilitate learning of new words. One thing that I've been really interested in looking at is, does it help children to learn these new labels and to learn the meanings of these new words if they have access to the visual word form?
Right.
So this is a little bit akin to...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that what orthography means?
Yes.
I think
visual
you're going
to need
to... So that
visual
is exactly word. What it means. Okay, so yeah. I think I'm going to be really dingy and ask you a lot of what's maybe some of these basic words that I should know. I am learning new words as we go through this thing. Okay, so that is just the way the word looks, the way it's spelled out or written.
The way it's spelled out, okay. That's right. And partly the reason I was really interested in this is I find it really hard to learn new words, and particularly new names for people when I haven't heard that name before. And my best strategy for trying to remember names, because it's embarrassing if you don't remember people's names, is to write them down.
Right.
So partly I was interested because that's something I had always done, and also because I had observed teachers, I work a lot with teachers, explaining the meanings of new words and just jotting them down on the board as they were talking about them. Now, this is not something that teachers necessarily do all the time,
is
but
it?
It's something that they certainly do, and they feel that it's a valid cue.
So it's not just intuitive. They're doing this because they think that this is really benefiting them. They're not just...
That was the research question originally, really, when I was doing my PhD, was this is something that people do, and instinctively people feel that it's helpful, but can we find evidence for that? Because there wasn't any evidence out there.
Right.
So I published a study during my PhD looking at this, and found that, yes, it does help children to have access to that printed form when you're teaching them new labels and the meanings of new words.
Very.
So in this study, I was really developing that work to look at whether that was a useful strategy, a useful cue, also for children that have oral vocabulary weaknesses. So children who find it particularly difficult to learn the meanings of new words.
And so those are children with...
So here we've got children with specific language impairment who by definition have language difficulties.
Okay.
Most of them have difficulty with oral meanings, word meanings. And children with autism spectrum disorders who also sometimes, though less frequently, have difficulty with oral vocabulary knowledge. They know the meanings of fewer words.
Right, okay.
In some cases, but not in all cases.
And you also had another group which were normal controls. Or
yeah, typically developing
typically
children.
Typically, that's a better way of saying.
Right. Yeah, controls. And they're a comparison group.
Right, okay.
Those other two groups.
So
I actually had two comparison groups in this study.
You did?
A same-aged, typically developing comparison group, and then also a younger.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Well.
So how did you go about testing it then? You want to see if they're looking at the word will help them learn the words better.
I wanted to kind of think about the simplest word learning task possible. So what I taught them were new labels, and those needed to be associated with visual reference, so pictures of objects. So they were pictures of objects that adults couldn't name and didn't know. So
okay.
They were going to be novel to these children. We checked that they were. And the labels were also novel. So they had to learn a new label and a new picture or object and to associate the right label with the right picture.
Okay.
So it's, it's called a paired associate learning task.
Okay.
And what I did is for half of the items that they learned, they learned 12 items in total. For half of the items, the orthography, the visual word form was present when they were learning the items, and for half of them it wasn't.
And the test was?
So in order to assess learning afterwards, I looked at learning during training.
Yeah.
And then I also assessed learning at the end. And what they had to do is they had an array of four different pictures, and they heard one of the new labels, and they had to select the correct picture.
Can you tell me what you found then?
So what we found was that, yes, indeed, having the orthographic form there during training did mean that they found it easier to access those new lexical representations, so to get a hold of those new words that they'd just learned. So demonstrate knowledge of them.
When I look at figure four, I think that was my favorite figure in that paper.
Yeah.
There was a whopping difference across the board in proportion correct if the orthography was present versus if it was absent in all groups.
Yeah.
So is that an additive benefit that you get? Because, yes.
So we tend to refer to it as an orthographic facilitation benefit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very
so it was a whopping effect.
Yeah.
And what was quite interesting was that the children benefited from the orthography to the same extent. Now that's interesting because you might expect that children will benefit from orthography more if they have greater orthographic knowledge, i.e. they're better readers.
Yeah.
They know more about visual word forms. Actually, that's not what we found. What we found was that children in each of the groups, and the groups had different levels of orthographic knowledge, different levels of reading ability, that they showed equivalent orthographic facilitation.
So it was perfect.
So the effect was similar across the three groups.
Love,
and that was somewhat
finding,
unexpected. Yeah.
What do you make of that one?
Well, what we concluded in the paper was that you only need to have a certain relatively minimal level of orthographic knowledge for it to be beneficial in this particular context.
So having more doesn't give you a boost.
Not
doesn't
necessarily.
Give you an
it might do in some circumstances, yeah. But these are relatively simple stimuli.
Right.
And I think when you've got simple words, you probably just need a little bit of orthographic knowledge, and that's going to get you that benefit. That's going to get you that. I mean, clearly this wouldn't work with pre-readers. So you need to be able to read. You need to have some reading knowledge in order for this effect to be beneficial. I'm sure it wouldn't work with pre-readers.
Have you told teachers about these?
Yes. So I spend quite a lot of time working with teachers and telling them about these findings, and that's actually really cool because what teachers want is to be told about evidence-based strategies that they can actually use, that are not going to cost the earth and are not going to be overly demanding in terms of their own time and other resources. Usually the things we tell them are not really achievable within the constraints that they have in terms of time and resources, but this strategy is fantastic because it's free.
Yes.
And it's very easy to do, and it's something they're doing anyway, but not universally. So
right.
What we found when we observed literacy lessons in a load of classrooms is that they were doing it some of the time, but not all of the time. And what this study and other there are about, there weren't any studies looking at this when I did my first paper, or not certainly not in this particular way. There are now about 8 or 9 studies, and they all demonstrate this orthographic facilitation.
So it's replicating.
So it's well replicated.
Oh,
and in
beautiful.
Different groups of children as well.
Excellent.
Different age groups.
Now, what about me in my age group? Would this help me at all? Yes.
I think there's
would
no reason to expect that it wouldn't help.
So yeah. I should be writing the words out or typing the words out. Does that matter? This is probably
well,
silly.
These are questions for future research.
Okay.
So
that,
under what? And so what we need to know now is in what circumstances is it more or less beneficial? And that's what I'm moving on to look at in future research.
So
and
I was
also
why? Ask, yeah,
you know, why is it beneficial? What is the mechanism? So that's what we're trying to
what
find out.
What is the mechanism?
I think the most obvious explanation at the moment would be the way that this effect is usually explained is as follows. There is something about visual information, orthographic information, letters, that is easier to remember than sounds. Sounds are quite difficult to remember. Strings of sounds, as you find in words, are quite difficult to remember and quite difficult to learn. And there's something about letters that cements the memory of those sounds in memory.
That's
kind of representation of those sounds in memory. So why might that be? So that could be because there's something about visual information that's just easier to remember than auditory information. So for example, visual information stays there, whereas auditory information is very transient.
Yes.
And the other kind of potential reason is that certainly the suggestion is that there's something about orthography that is more consistent over different contexts. So the exemplars of orthography that we see are more similar to each other than the exemplars of phonology of sounds that we hear.
So that variability in the sound that we hear is
it makes our representations
yeah,
more fuzzy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of
you know.
Sense. Yeah.
So
well,
that's
I love
one
your
of
work.
It's yeah.
so cool.
And if that's the case, then having the orthography there should be more or less beneficial depending on the relationship between the letters and the sounds. So in one of the really difficult things about learning to read English, particularly British English, we have lots of sounds that can be spelt more than one way.
Oh my, and lots of
letters that can be pronounced more than one way.
Yes, you guys put a lot of letters into your words.
Yeah, I mean, O-U-R, for example. And I know you guys simplify it by having an O-R there, colour and behaviour.
Right, and so on.
And so our kids have a really difficult task when they, you know, when they learn to read. And I guess the suggestion would be that if that relationship is very, very close, then you would get more benefit from having the orthography there, because it's giving you a better cue. It's giving you a better kind of clues to what the sounds will be.
That's excellent. So you already told me what the next steps are, sort of, but...
To some extent. So we're looking at mechanism. We're also... So this was a relatively simple task, which I guess is akin to the kind of vocabulary learning that very young children are doing, maybe, when they're talking to their parents. So what's that, doggy... You know, a bit like my daughter is starting to do now.
At what age?
She is 14 months, so doggy, you know, plane, yes, no. It's very simple words and pointing at things and labelling them. Whereas
you're not spelling them out for her yet?
No, not yet.
14 months
might
too early.
Might not be all that useful, though. Yeah. But later on, you're learning more abstract concepts. Also... Vocabulary learning is incremental, so you're not just learning new words, but you're also learning new information about the words that you already know. So we're trying to look at slightly more complex forms of vocabulary learning at the moment in adolescence.
Excellent. Congratulations again for the publication of your paper. Excellent work.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks.